In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this third Sunday of Great Lent. So we're at the midpoint of Great Lent, right in the middle now. And today is the Sunday of the Cross, and we've been venerating the Holy Cross. And this Sunday, the Gospel is about Christ saying, "Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And you notice he says, "Whoever will come after me." He doesn't, you know, demand. He doesn't command us to save, you know, for our souls to be saved. But we have to want that, you know, because God gave man free choice. And if God just simply imposed his will upon us, that would be, you know, tyranny. It wouldn't be free choice at all. So God, you know, offers, he shows us the way, but it's really up to us to follow him. The cross was prefigured in the Old Testament in several places, and I'll just mention three of them. There was a time when the Israelites were wandering through the desert, and they were attacked by these poisonous snakes. And so, you know, Moses prayed about this, and so he was inspired to create a brass serpent, which he raised up on this pole, and that everyone who looked on this brass serpent would be healed of the poison of these snake bites and would not be killed. So there we see an image of the cross being lifted up, and then it's a source of healing for us. We also find another place when the Israelites again were wandering through the desert. They had no water for a long time, and they finally found a spring of water, and they were so happy, and they rushed there and started to drink it, and it was very bitter. And this was a place called Marah. And once again, Moses, by God's inspiration, cut down a tree right near the spring, thrust it into the water, and the waters became sweet, and then they could drink it. So again, this is a prefiguring of the cross, because the cross makes the bitter things in our life sweet. You know, we can look at struggles as being terrible things, but we can also see them as blessings, which is what they really are. And finally, there's another place where the Israelites are having a battle against the forces of Amalek. And as long as Moses holds his arms outstretched in the form of a cross, then the Israelites prevail in battle. But eventually Moses' arms begin to get tired, and the two priests, Aaron and Levi, stand there on either side of him and hold his arms up. And so when they hold his arms up, then the forces of Israel prevail. So the cross is also for us the victory over our enemies, which are the world, the flesh, and the devil. So the cross is a very central spiritual theme for us to consider, being positioned like this in the middle of Great Lent. And in fact, throughout the year, there are really three of these feasts of the cross. There's the Exaltation of the Cross in September, one of the 12 great feasts. There's the Procession of the Cross in August. And then we have this Sunday of the Cross, the third Sunday of Great Lent. And we can certainly appreciate the importance of remembering the great sacrifice of our Lord when he was crucified on the cross and took on our sins and destroyed death once and for all. And after all, you know, this of course was prophesied as well in the Psalms of David and the prophecies throughout the Old Testament. And our Lord also instructed his disciples and apostles many times about how he would undergo this cruel and shameful death, and then he would rise again on the third day, because he wanted them not to, you know, lose hope or lose faith. So we remember this, and after all, we can stop now, right? I mean, we don't need to do any more other than remember it. We're grateful to the Lord that he did this for us, but really, what does this have to do with us now? What did Jesus really mean when he tells us that we must deny ourselves and take up his cross and follow him? Well, taking up our cross means that as Christians, we must bear all the burdens and the struggles that we have in our lives. And this is really through the practice of asceticism, which is why we fast during Great Lent. So we deprive ourselves of burgers and cheese and eggs and things. And it's a small sacrifice, but by doing this, it's like a spiritual exercise which strengthens us. So we voluntarily are working to deny the world, the flesh, and the devil. However, we live in a world today that doesn't really support us in this effort. On every corner, there's a McDonald's, and when we meet other people at work or at school or wherever, they're not fasting. They're standing in the grocery line getting their steaks and ribs and everything. And everything we see in television, billboards, advertising, the world tells us that we should enjoy our lives and relax and have fun and pursue pleasure, and especially to follow our own will. Do whatever we want to do. Don't let anyone else tell us what to do. Today's marketing slogans, you know, we've heard all these marketing campaigns from the different products. You deserve a break today. You know, have it your way. Obey your thirst. You know, we see this on the sides of the soda pop vending machines. Obey your thirst. In other words, don't obey God. Obey your thirst. Obey your passions. And to be rich and to be famous are really upheld as the very best things that we could possibly have in this life, to just really have a wonderful and fantastic life. And so in today's really post-Christian culture, the cross does not have a place of honor. It's rather something to be ashamed of, something to be offended by. It's a symbol of weakness, of defeat, of death and failure. And many Christians today seem to misunderstand the reality of what the cross means for us. I once knew a young man who was in the process of becoming Orthodox, and he'd gotten used to the idea of using an icon or a cross or something as an image to focus his attention upon when he was praying. And so one day he was at work, and he was going out to get some lunch and thought he'd do a little praying because he felt the need to. So he saw a church and went inside thinking that, you know, there would be some cross in there or image or something he could focus on. Well, he didn't find anything. He looked everywhere. And finally, he saw a priest in this church, and he asked him if they had a cross someplace, and he couldn't seem to find it. And the priest said, well, yes, but we only bring it out on special occasions because we don't want to offend anyone. So we usually keep it in a storage area, you know, out of sight. And unfortunately, this is kind of the mentality today. Today, many atheistic organizations like the Freedom From Religion Foundation routinely file lawsuits against cities and schools that have a cross anywhere within public view, stating that this is offensive to people and it violates the separation of church and state. And so now many crosses and other religious images have been removed from public places in our communities. God has given each one of us a cross to bear, and it may be, you know, through illness or financial hardship or other types of suffering. But the church provides us with the weapons with which to bear these crosses and to fight these spiritual battles. We are given the weapons of prayer, and fasting, almsgiving, doing good works, regular study of the Holy Scripture and the Holy Fathers, and then, of course, all the sacraments of confession and communion and the other sacraments. And just as when we exercise our bodies, you know, we go to the gym and we have a trainer who says, come on, you can do a few more push-ups or you can do a few more of these exercises, we become stronger. And so, too, Lent is a time for us to exercise ourselves spiritually in order to gain greater spiritual renewal and strength. Of course, God understands that we aren't very strong sometimes and we struggle against our sins, and yet He loves us and will not give us more struggles than we can bear, as the Apostle Paul writes about. Let's remember the words of the Triparion that we've been singing this morning. Save, O Lord, thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Grant unto right-believing Christians victory over their enemies, and by thy cross, preserving thy community. May our Lord Jesus Christ grant us this triumphant victory over our enemies, and thereby preserve his community, his holy church, of which he promised us that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Glory be to our God.